It's time for Cofield and Company.
Thompson finds an opening. Three-pointer's up. It's good. Curry gets a look. Fires away. Ties the game. Thompson, one fake, one dribble, one shot. Got it. Golden State retakes the lead. Van Fleet kicks it out. Lowry. Lowry for the win. Won't go. And there'll be a game six in Oakland.
Prayers out to KD. He gave us what he could. He sacrificed his body for us. And I just feel bad for him. So I got a lot of emotions right now.
Now, here's Steve Cofield.
5 o'clock hours here. Oh, yeah, the drama. Any clue what this is? When you want to get serious, sports, crank it up. Drago.
Rocky.
Yeah, Rocky IV. Drago with all the high-tech training, lifting the weights. Then there's a great scene of Rocky. And he's around a horse because they're out in the wilderness. And then they go right back to Drago on horse steroids. That's what they meant when they did that visual.
He was on horse steroids?
He was on whatever the strongest anabolic was that he could be on.
Was there no testing?
Of course there was no testing.
What if Rocky 8 or 9, whatever, the next one is just about drug testing?
The whole thing's drug testing?
Yeah.
I have a feeling that over the years, if the Rocky series had really drug tested, their movies wouldn't have really come to fruition.
Didn't Stallone get in trouble for throwing steroids out of a window in Australia?
He did get caught in Australia, yeah. Yeah.
Good job.
Their actors over the years have been quite buff. Not saying anything about Michael B. Jordan. That's all natural.
Oh, God. You want to talk about crying? Fruitvale Station. My goodness. That was like the worst day ever.
Crying's been a big theme today. Adam got very, very upset after the game, watching Steph Curry, a little bit of Bob Myers. We'll get to that. Lots of Raptors and Warriors talk, because that was one of the craziest games we've seen unfold. Believe it or not, I mean, I think most people felt it. If you don't like Kevin Durant, there was actually a moment last night you're like, man, I feel terrible, and I kind of want the Warriors to win. Big Five time.
Battle Born Injury Lawyers presents the Big Five at Five. Number five.
Jared in for Chrissy. It's Cofield. It's Adam Hill. You and I are very excited to see what's going to be built around our new stadium. We're already enjoying Crazy Horse 3 on Fridays. I get a real kick out of that joint, and then another gentleman's club is within walking distance. Raj was at the stadium yesterday with Mark Davis.
I think he stopped by and had some tacos at CH3.
He should. It wasn't, you know, Taco Tuesday, but the $5 menu, you know, even if you're making $43 million like Roger Goodell, can't pass it up. And the ladies, of course.
You're never too rich to not enjoy a great deal.
I think it's the greatest thing ever that the NFL is going to land here and our stadium's across the street from a couple of different gentlemen's clubs, and who knows what's going to go in, what sort of debauchery we're going to have right across the street from the stadium. I am imploring Clark County officials, you've got to have some dispensaries there.
Please.
It has to happen. And here's the thing, the NFL shouldn't be against it. The NFL is going to find a way to make money off of the weed industry somehow. Probably what they'll do is they'll do the same thing they did with the fantasy football sites that are gambling, and they'll buy into the back end. They're like, oh, it's not gambling. You know, as Jerry Jones and Bobby Kraft are buying into the back end, making money, they're going to buy into back end on weed. And because we know in almost every town where the licenses go, every state, the licenses go to who? The people who have cash, who have money.
Of course.
So the connected are going to get it. There's going to be too many NFL owners who are like, yeah. Yeah, I'm getting involved in the weed business. Of course. So I want dispensaries across the street and in that neighborhood, especially with Raiders fans. Calm them down. Headline of the New York Post, where I'm going with this whole soliloquy on weed. Marijuana industry could surpass NFL in revenue by 2020.
Wow.
37 states online that have weed legal, at least on the medical end, many with the rec purposes. 2018, U.S. revenue on weed, somewhere between $8.6 and $10 billion. The NFL, if you don't know this, I know a lot of people root for the owners. You know, all the players, Le'Veon Bell, up his. You know, he doesn't deserve the money. The NFL's revenue was in excess of $15 billion last year. the weed is going to catch the NFL, and then estimates are it's going to blow away the NFL in years to come and be a $50 or $60 billion industry at some point.
Yeah, and it's certainly good, you know, for the state of Nevada and all the tax money that's being brought in. There's no question. It seems to me to be working very, very well. But you have an area where there's going to be massive events like over there. I have no problem putting in a dispensary or even two right over there in the area to make it very accessible to people, because the more people that buy it, the more tax money we have coming in. Start making up some of that money from the money we gave to build the stadium.
Seriously.
Start making it back that way. And, I mean, you mentioned it with one line there, but, man, I'd much rather have a bunch of high people than drunk people at the games. It makes it a much more enjoyable experience for everybody else.
Until we find out that there are multiple parking garages within walking distance of that stadium with these shuttles, people are going to need to chill.
Yeah.
I don't recommend you taking a shuttle, getting to your car all baked, and driving home, but people are going to need to chill and relax because they're going to be a little frustrated early on.
Yeah, I think it makes sense.
And if the Raiders are kind of the Raiders right now, more frustration.
I mean, it's the age-old argument, but, I mean, there's nobody's going to have any problem with them building a bunch of bars right next to the stadium for people to leave the game and go get hammered and start fighting people. Nobody's going to have problems
with that. That's it. That's just a given. Leave the game, go drink, fight.
That's what happens all the time.
And you're right, there will... I don't know who's going to get the licenses down there, who's going to get to move in down there, but there will be bars everywhere.
Yeah. And yet, there's this, you know, some controversy about potentially building a dispensary around there. Why? It's so much less of a risk to the society and to the area around there and everything else. It doesn't make sense that people are still fighting this. And, like, this is some evil thing when alcohol is so great.
Number four.
I think you're being sarcastic with your delivery at the end.
I don't mean alcohol is great.
I'm saying, like, alcohol is great.
For everyone's just like, build bars there. Like, no, build dispensaries there.
When I see angry people on edge, it is the first thing I think of. I'm like, yeah, you know what? Dial it down a little bit. Throw down an edible. Try something. Have a little chocolate. Hope Solo comes to mind because she is an angry lady.
She's had some drunken fights before.
And here we go again. One of the most embarrassing athletes who's ever represented this country is Hope Solo. She's a clown. She is.
That's fair.
She's 100 times worse. Who's the stupid swimmer who got into trouble in Brazil?
Who?
Lochte.
Yeah.
Ryan Lochte.
Ryan Lochte.
And then his other weird friends. There's like four of them.
She puts Lochte to shame.
Well, Lochte's just dumb. He's not like
right? He's not like a horrible person. She's a person who struggles with being nice. And also, she's not really safe to be around.
Being civil. Yeah, she's had issues. She fought her nephew and her aunt or some weird fight in, like, the front yard of their place up in Washington.
Her and Jeremy Stevens together are like the modern Bonnie and Clyde.
Well, they stole, like, the team van and crashed it when she was drunk or
drunken
something.
Drunken rampage in the U.S. women's soccer van.
She's a mess.
Now what? She's not even on the team.
She also was caught up in one of your favorite scandals of all time. So her iCloud was hacked.
The Fappening?
Yeah.
That's the one good check mark I'll give her.
You may have named a fantasy team after her at some point.
Yeah.
But yes.
Quite beefy.
Well, okay. She was interviewed because the World Cup was starting. Well, the U.S. team started today. World Cup started on Friday. But, you know, as we do, you try to find somebody that has a relation to the topic and talk to them about the tournament and what's going on. And she was giving an interview about the women's national team and their chances in this tournament and everything else. And one of the things she said on BBC's Football Daily podcast this weekend was, "I don't agree a lot with Jill Ellis, to be quite honest." That's the coach of the women's national team. So she went on to say, Jill Ellis was, quote, I think you're going to like this, "Not the leader I wish her to be."
Oh, good. Good. We need leadership advice from one Hope Solo. Awesome.
She's a judge of who's a leader. Jill Ellis, not a leader.
God, she's the worst.
Jill Ellis was always telling me to be sober and to stop hitting people.
That's not what I want.
Mind your own business.
That's not what I want out of a
leader. What I need to have my edge.
Hope Solo went on to say, Jill Ellis relies heavily on her assistant coaches. She cracks under the pressure quite a bit, but oftentimes it doesn't matter because the quality of the players on the team is so superb. She also went on to say about the World Cup. She would not show her team goals that they gave up. Like, if they're in a film session, she would take the goals out and edit them out because she didn't want their feelings to be hurt, and she didn't think the team can handle it. Hope Solo said, Jill didn't have the quality. She didn't bring that sense of leadership to us. You could tell her, or you could tell that, perhaps she didn't show us the goals because perhaps her nerves were getting the best of her. So for me, Jill just never had that leadership quality. She said that players behind the scenes were very frustrated with Jill Ellis beyond just her. So,
you know what? She might be onto something. I just don't want to hear from Hope Solo. I'll admit, I have no patience for her. She may be a freaking expert on this. She may be on the money. And you know what? If they don't win this, because they're one of the favorites, if they choke it away, then we will bring back Hope Solo in these comments.
Well, controversy today, Steve, as they if you saw the score, they won 13-0 today.
Right. Against Thailand?
Yes, Alex Morgan scored five times.
I just watched the first goal 5 minutes in. About a minute ago before the first goal, the keeper is playing with, like, stumps. She has no hands. She got nothing. This is the smallest keeper who's ever played in any World Cup.
It was a good goal by Alex Morgan to start things off there. But, yes, 13-0. And on the 13th goal, Jill Ellis and the rest of the coaches went berserk celebrating. There's been a lot of criticism, including from our friend John Murray over at the Westgate, who was tweeting, what are they doing? They're up 13-0. Why are they celebrating like this? Now, I will say, your girl, Carly Lloyd, is the one that scored the 13th goal. She came on as a sub.
Yay!
She's not a starter anymore.
Delran, New Jersey, and Rutgers. Yay!
It's her last World Cup. She's not a starter. She may not score again in the World Cup.
Mm-hmm.
I'm okay with them celebrating.
So they ran up the score to give a bonus goal to an old lady.
No, they ran up the score because of goal differential. Like, goal differential.
It does count.
It does count.
And by the way, Carly Lloyd is not an old lady.
She's 36. She's pretty old. For
you're
soccer? 40. I'm not 40. For soccer, 36. I'm not a soccer player. 3 years ago, I would have been very old for a soccer player. Yeah.
Okay, finish your point.
So I'm not completely opposed to the fact that they were happy that the girl scored her probably last goal ever in the World Cup. I'm okay with that. But also, it looked like they have a player on the team, Sam Mewis, who doesn't know how to celebrate, which is hilarious. She scored twice today. She's the worst celebrator of all time.
What does that mean?
Like, she would score. We have the cameras on. This, we can use it for the
sure.
first time ever.
Yes.
For those of you out there,
we're using it a lot.
We're not streaming right now. Play to the camera.
No. You can play to whatever you want. There'll be videos later.
She scores and she like doesn't know what she's doing. So I actually read a story about this before the World Cup that her teammates just mock her relentlessly because she'll score and be like, what are you doing? Like, you don't know how to celebrate a goal. And so I also believe that the coaching staff was mocking her because they were doing like her goofy celebration. This like in an awkward movement, so I think there was more to it than just celebrating.
What would be your move? I don't know if you know how to celebrate.
Oh, I think you gotta run to like the corner post. You gotta run.
You're not sliding on your knees.
You gotta slide, or you gotta.
You're not doing. You are not doing the slide on your knees.
I think I might, or I would do like the shadow boxing. You use the corner flag to shadow box.
But you look dangerous.
Well, I'm not actually hitting anything, and also I'm behind a
counter. Let him fly.
I'm not gonna,
Fist of Fury?
What do you want me to punch?
I don't know. Not me.
I'm not going to punch my computer or the microphone. But I think you shadow box with the.
All right. I want to research this. I want to see if she's as bad as you say she is. I don't believe that someone doesn't know how to celebrate.
It's her teammates talking about it, too.
I guess Kawhi doesn't really know how to celebrate.
No, he doesn't.
It's a good point. The robot as he just walks off the court after a big win. Top three stories.
Number three.
Back to the finals. Are the Raptors fans the biggest scumbag fans in North America? Yes or no?
For today,
yes. There's no nuance to this. No gray area.
For today, yes.
Okay, one, and we are guilty of doing this. We brand like an entire city having really aggressive animal fans.
Oakland.
It's not everyone in the market. It's not every Raiders fan. It's not every Boston or Philly fan. It's not every Michigan State fan. It's not every West Virginia fan.
Most Michigan State fans.
Just because a guy tried to kill trees, it's not every Alabama fan.
That's pretty bad. But it was one guy.
Yes.
I mean,
The thing that got me last night was America seemed to explode, and it was all of Canada, you dirtbags. Like, It's not all of Canada that acted like that.
We the North.
Were you surprised when it happened? Durant goes down, and there was probably a good... There was a loud roar for about 5 seconds, and then it continued for another five. And then they get a shot of a guy on the baseline. He's like, see ya, KD! And then he's like, Achilles! Yeah! He didn't do that part.
Well, I mean, and
but credit, there may have been people up in the stands who did it.
Credit to Toronto's players for calming down the situation very quickly, and then the fans, you know, cheered for him as he left the court. I tweeted out right away, and listen, of course you want to, you want to be respectful of the players. You don't want to cheer and that sort of thing. As I tweeted out, they were on the verge of a title for 11 minutes yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Their chances of winning an NBA title were zero. Zero. They knew. They're not beating that team with Kevin Durant on the floor. Yeah. It ain't happening. And they saw that very quickly. So a quarter into the game, they're there to celebrate a title, and they come to the realization they are not going to win one. They have to win one of the next three. They have zero chance of doing so. And so when Kevin Durant gets hurt, their chances go from zero to probably above 50. I understand in that moment, you get excited. You have to. Like, in the heat of the moment, if you have zero chance of winning an NBA title, and all of a sudden it's above 50%, you're going to be happy, regardless of how it got there.
All right. I'm all about defending the Raptors fans' behavior, because they're fans, they're amped up. The case you're making is stupid. I don't think at the beginning of the game. It is. I don't think at the beginning of the game they're like, we have no shot.
No, not at the beginning. After a quarter.
After a quarter. We can't beat this team.
Yeah, that's just fact.
No one was thinking that.
That's just fact.
Here's what happened. That's not fact.
Of course it is.
That's an opinion. That's an opinion of what they thought.
Right. It's an opinion.
That's your mindset. It's not their mindset.
Opinion backed up by the truth.
This was their mindset. They're going crazy. They have a chance to win a title. If you remember, just minutes before, there was a situation where FVV goes into the lane, right? He's trying to beat KD off the dribble. And KD defends him. They finally call a foul. And Van Vliet's like, with the elbow. And Durant kind of leans down on him and starts talking trash on him, 7 foot on 6 foot. And the crowd was super amped up from that. And then just a few minutes later, the guy who was talking trash to one of their guys is on the floor. They know he's already been hurt. So there was this moment of glee. But here's the deal. It's no different than, as bad as Philly fans are at times, it's no different than the Michael Irvin situation. Michael Irvin went down in a heap. He was on the Cowboys. He was a trash talker beyond anything that Kevin Durant could ever imagine. Many people who watch football, I hated Michael Irvin. You know what? It turns out he's a pretty nice guy now that we see him in the media. But when he competed, he was a jerk. He was a show-off. He rubbed your nose in it. And that Philly crowd was completely fired up when they saw their arch enemy go down. But most of them weren't processing, oh my God, he might be paralyzed. Nor were most people last night processing, oh, that's an Achilles. Yay!
Right.
And they calmed down. As Colin Cowherd said today, sorry, but 12 seconds of Molson-generated poor judgment doesn't mean Canada is classless. It means they're sports fans. Have we forgotten all the cars and couches that we've burned?
True.
And he said, slow your anti-Canuck roll.
But I'll also add that a lot of these people saying, it was a couple people in an arena doing it. No, it wasn't. It was the whole arena. And by the way, if you watch the video from outside in Jurassic Park, they were going nuts. They were very excited.
Is it different when you're outside?
Well, that's the other thing. Like, I think it is different because the guy isn't hearing it. And for whatever reason, it just feels different to be cheering a guy that's hurt that's actually there laying on the floor. And I think when you're outside, like, he's not going to hear it, and you're happy. Again, your chances of winning the title just increased exponentially. You're happy. You should be happy. You shouldn't be happy a guy's hurt, but you get why they are because now they can win a title.
Terrible fans! We would never do that, which is hilarious if Americans are saying that. You hate Kevin Durant. You've made this guy just his life miserable by calling him soft and a freaking quitter and taking the easy path. And now it's like, oh, these Canadians treating Kevin Durant like this. You've done worse than this for 5 years now. Now we're going to stand on the pulpit. Oh, how dare you treat athletes like this?
Number two.
I don't get what Nick Nurse was doing at the end of the game. He's the coach of the Raptors. I think the guy's a really good coach, but I think he got caught in this whole formulaic, hey, I take timeouts at certain times. If I've got them, I'm going to use them. Man, they're on a 12-2 run. They got a six-point lead with 3:06 left, and he decides to take a timeout. I want to get to the timeout here in a second. I do want to go into the mind of these coaches. Nick Nurse was actually asked a very interesting question. Actually, you know what? Screw it. I'll pose it again. I would always love to ask a coach, like, what are you thinking on that final shot as it's being executed and the ball is released?
Yeah, I mean, you're not thinking about all that stuff, Steve, really. I think, again, you're just trying to win a game, and you're not thinking about anything other than that.
That was cool.
Good question, Steve.
He addressed me personally. That was the cheesiest setup ever. I just wanted to play that bite because he said Steve.
Perfect.
Like, I felt like I was part of it.
Hey, it was a good question.
Here is Nick Nurse on the timeouts. It's a 12-2 run. You're up six. The Warriors are dead. They're not doing anything right. They're making mistakes. Iguodala, stop shooting the ball! Iguodala, please! Don't listen to Max Kellerman. That dopey stuff from a week ago. I'd rather have him take the last shot over Steph. He's a killer. Not last night. He was terrible. Nick Nurse tries to explain why he took timeouts in the midst of a 12-2 run by his team.
Yeah, well, we had two free ones that you lose under the three-minute mark. We just came across and just decided to give those guys a rest. We had back-to-back ones there that we would have lost under the three-minute mark and just thought we could use the extra energy push.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. I heard the energy push at the end, but it's the formulaic. You know what? We're going to lose them. We got to use them. No, you don't. Lose them. The game changed. You're in the driver's seat. Just keep going. Don't bother. Top story.
Number one.
All right, what happens now with Kevin Durant? So one very interesting thing here. We'll play the game. Believe me, I hope it's not this serious. I hope he can come back. It's good for the NBA. He's one of the greatest players, if not the best player in the league. An Achilles rupture, he's out for a year. So he can opt in for one more year with the Warriors and get paid $31 million to rehab with the Warriors. He can sign a deal with anyone other than the Warriors. It's 4 years, $164 million. Year one, he gets paid $38 million, which if it's the Achilles, he's rehabbing an Achilles for a year for $38 million. Or he could stay for 5 years with the Warriors for $221 million. First question, will anyone step up and go, you know what, we'll pay you for the first year. We don't care. Here's $164 million. You're coming with us.
I think somebody will. I don't know that it's somewhere he wants to go because, like, we thought. I mean, it seemed like he was angling toward playing for the Knicks.
Does he want to go to the Knicks? Do you believe that?
I do believe it.
Okay.
But I also look at this and say, does he want to go now? Like, what are they going to – how is the team going to be? I guess the positive side is they'd have a much better draft pick if he's not playing. If he's under contract and not playing.
Yeah. It's almost like a David Robinson situation repeated.
Yeah.
Right? Remember David Robinson went down for a year. They get Tim Duncan. All of a sudden, they got Robinson and Duncan together.
Yeah. So, I mean,
improve like 35 wins that next year.
That might be beneficial. I mean, the Warriors might feel guilty and just give him a Supermax. And maybe he takes that. I don't know. I don't know how teams will react.
Yeah.
In free agency. I might just opt in. Take the option, take the $31 million rehab, and then sign a deal next year?
No. I want the guaranteed money. I don't know how the rehab's going to go. I'm taking guaranteed money from someone, so I'm going to go with that premise. Will the Knicks do it? They better. No one wants to go to the Knicks. If this guy is going to grace you, even with a busted leg, and sign there for 4 years, you sign him. That's how desperate the Knicks are. I don't trust anything with the Knicks that they're a favorite to land Kevin Durant. We just heard Stephen A. say the other day that Durant may go back to the Warriors, but he may look at some other teams. The Nets may be able to pitch him. No, be the team that steps up and goes, please, we love you. Here's $38 million. Chill and rehab. We want to build it around you. They have to do this. They have to do this. Now, if I'm the Warriors, and it's funny, we talked to Mark Willard, who's a radio guy in San Fran at KNBR. And probably 45 minutes after the game, he tweets out, if I'm the Warriors, I walk right up to KD tomorrow at the MRI and hand him a 5-year Supermax. No. Absolutely not. I hope that was Mark speaking from emotion right after the injury. No. Why are the Warriors great?
Because they've had guys take less money to stay around.
The Warriors are a step above almost every organization in the NBA. Good organizations don't do that. I'm not giving them the Supermax. And if this sounds mean, I'll ask you a simple question. Right? Or we'll just say WWBBD. What would Bill Belichick do? That's it. That's the game plan.
He would probably cut his other Achilles and then send him out the door so nobody else can take advantage of him at any point.
What would Bill Belichick do?
Oh, he would definitely let him go.
Yep. That's what you do.
Right. What if Durant's like, yeah, I'm staying.
You can't stop that. But I'm not giving him a Supermax. Plus, I want to keep this team together. I give him a Supermax, and I'm already paying Steph the max. I can't keep Durant and Klay Thompson. Listen, sometimes it sucks. And I know everyone's emotional right now. You got to make hard decisions.
No, it's completely true. I kind of think he's opting in, just not knowing if somebody is definitely going to give him a max deal.
Yeah, to me, there's no doubt. And actually, Bobby Marks, who's a big NBA capologist, NBA expert, said there's multiple teams that will give him the super. They'll give him their max, the 4 years and 164. I don't think it's just the Knicks.
Yeah,
I think the Clippers will do it.
I assume somebody will.
Yep,
but it can't really be a team that's close. It has to be a bad team, because you can't, if you're close, you can't pay somebody $38 million to do nothing for a year and then maybe do very little the second year.
Well, I mean, the top two teams, it sounds like, are the Clippers and the Knicks, right? Or the Nets. Like, they're close, but they're not. And I guess if you're spending that much money, you expect to, not the Knicks, but potentially win compete for a title the next year. Yeah. But for the Clippers and Nets, it's still a long-haul deal.
I mean, if it's ruptured, that it's really a two-year injury.
Well, let's get the update on it, right? And let's see how long the recovery period is. That's a good point. If it's 2 years, my God.
It's the worst injury you could possibly have.
Missed the latest edition of Cofield & Company? Visit Cofield's Corner on LVSportsNetwork.com for access to the latest podcasts. Now, back to Cofield & Company.
He's one of the most misunderstood people. He's a good teammate. He's a good person. It's not fair. I'm lucky to know him.
Don't cry out loud. Just keep it inside. Learn how to hide your feelings.
Jared White. I mean, Jared's in for Chrissy. The show takes a totally, like, negative turn. What is wrong with you, man? Bob Myers was feeling it last night.
I didn't want him to cry.
Oh, okay. You're trying to save him. You're not mocking. Oh. Well, a man who's very much in touch with his feelings, I'm sure, felt it last night like Adam did. Adam said he was crying when Steph Curry was all upset in that interview with SVP. The great Nick Gizmondi, AT&T Sportsnet. What's up, Nick?
Hey, what's up, guys? I try to have myself like a 20-minute cry a day just to make sure I'm in touch with my feelings.
So what'd you think of last night? What'd you think about all the emotions? Because, you know, we joke about it now, but we opened the show, and Adam said he did get sad at the end of the game, and I don't like the Warriors. Like, I dislike the Warriors as much as any team in all of sports, and at the end of the game, I was like, I actually don't mind if they win. What'd you think last night? What were you thinking?
I'm good with emotions. I'm glad that, I like when sports are competitive, right? And I think there's something to be said when championship runs go to game sevens and the series is getting extended and the emotions are running high and there's a lot of drama on both sides of that. So I'm okay with it. I'm not necessarily rooting for either of those teams. I'm a Detroit boy, so I'm live or die Pistons, but I'm not necessarily rooting for anybody there. I think if you're holding a gun to my head and saying, hey, pick one, I think it'd be nice to see somebody other than usual suspects win a championship in sports. So I guess in my heart of hearts, I might be rooting a little bit for Toronto.
But Nick, what about those Raptors fans? I mean, they're gross.
The Canadians are such a nice people.
Aren't you like half Canadian? You're from like 20 miles from the border.
I guess that's technically true. Yeah, I'm a Detroit boy. So yeah, I think that does make me personally Canadian, you know? So if you know, it's about a good competition, and and it's a solid organization, and, you know, winning a championship is just, you know, it's part of the process.
Very good job.
Nick Ismondi with us. Of course, the man around the Vegas Golden Knights. One last thing on the Durant injury and the Raptors fans' behavior. I did find it interesting that there were hockey fans who were like, this is why I love hockey. Like, okay, hockey fans aren't nasty and get out of control sometimes, Nick. Come on.
No, I think they're more talking about the fact that it's just like the injuries, right? Like, all right, Durant leaves the game in the second quarter with a right Achilles injury, undetermined or whatever. And I know I know it was his first game back since he strained his calf. What was that? That was about a month ago. I think it was against Houston in the Western Conference Finals. But man, hockey's tough. Like, hockey's tough. Like, think about like even Chara right now playing with.
We're not doing this.
Jaw.
Don't do this.
Stop.
No, you're being Roenick now. Roenick did this too. Kevon Looney's playing with a broken clavicle, Nick.
In 2006, Gregory Campbell broke his leg on a penalty kill, blocking a shot by Evgeny Malkin. He got on his feet, and he defended it for another 40 seconds before limping to the bench.
You, like, hockey guys.
Hockey players are another breed, bro. Another breed. He played hockey on a broken right fibula. Like, come on. Back in 1964, Maple Leaf Bobby Bond played an entire playoffs on a broken leg. Like, come on.
Come on. Nick is
Bonnie's
with us. All right,
man.
Nick, have you gotten a good feel for these finals? Do you have any clue what's going to happen in Game 7?
I mean, I think St. Louis has been a really good road team. I think they've got, you can't count them out, but Boston and the way that they have played at the Garden has been huge. I think Tuukka Rask is a difference maker. I think that team's got a lot of they've got a lot of will. I think the Chara thing certainly helps them, but I love the play of a guy like Torrey Krug. And Marchand is a guy you love to hate, man. He's effective. Like, when he scores a big goal, it's just kind of like everybody rallies behind the guy. So I think the smart money's probably on Boston, but, I mean, Game 7, Stanley Cup Final, flip a coin. I personally think it goes to probably double overtime tomorrow night to determine a winner.
We know that hockey players, like all athletes, there's superstition there. So the whole thing in St. Louis with putting out the congratulations and, you know, publishing a letter from a team executive congratulating the team, will that live on in history if they don't go on to win this?
Well, I mean, think about what happened in Vegas a year ago. I think everybody made a big to-do about a planned parade and things like that. And, I mean, listen, there are superstitions. You gotta be careful. I've been around a lot of sports. I think all athletes are superstitious to a certain degree, but I think hockey players and organizations are certainly more superstitious to a whole other level. So things like that always make me cringe. Like, I'm just like, don't do that. That's not the right thing to do. Like, I even do that. Like, I grew up playing hockey, as you guys know. So even me in my daily life, like, I don't do things that I would, like, cringe at if I was a hockey player, because I'm like, don't jinx it. Just don't jinx it. Like, I'm the guy that if I say something, I'm searching everywhere for wood to knock on.
If Cody Eakin is not called for a major penalty, are the Golden Knights playing in this game?
Absolutely, 100% they are.
Okay.
Well, that was
I think he's right.
That was the big,
I mean, I expect that from
that
Nick.
That is one of the biggest, like, listen, I know you guys wanted to talk about it, and it's been said a lot, so I'm finally comfortable talking about it, but get it together. I mean, these are the best officials in the world, in the sport. And this postseason has been a head scratcher for me. So many different things.
Are they the best officials in the world? What has been the problem, and how can Bettman help them? What do they need to clean up next year? This has been embarrassing.
Listen, I think there's a big call for more video review. I think that needs to be tamed a little bit. You don't want to slow the game down a ton, but if you're taking the time to look at offsides and minutely discerning whether or not it was a skate blade or a foot off the ice by a half an inch or whatever, I think you need to look at big situations. So I think maybe they start with major penalties. If you're going to call a major penalty, it's probably worth a look. Maybe it's worth having a supervisor at the game so you have an eye in the sky on penalties as well. So if there is maybe a discussion or a discrepancy between officials and linesmen. They could go up to the eye in the sky who's already been looking at the video, and he can give his review. So maybe it's the addition of official who's upstairs with a monitor who's looking at replays. I don't know. There's a lot of things they got to figure out there, but there's been a lot of mistakes, and I think that's obvious because the NHL has come out and apologized multiple times in the postseason. The hand pass goal by Timo Meier, I mean, for gosh sakes, they gave the guy an assist on the goal.
That's great.
I mean, I'm sorry, but you can't say that you didn't see the contact and him make the hand pass and then in another breath give him an assist because you're saying that he touched the puck. He moved the puck. He advanced the puck. So you had eyes on him. So, you know, I think there definitely needs to be something done. I think you got to take a quick look at it, and I think they will. They'll figure it out. Anytime the NHL has had a moment like this, they've always done the right thing, and they've always figured it out, and they've always seemed to have found a way to say, hey, this is what we need to do to fix it, and then they fix it, and if it isn't right, then they'll go back and they'll fix it again. So the NHL's attention to detail is good on this, and guys like Colin Campbell, ironically Gregory Campbell's father, will do things and will look at things, and I think they'll rectify this over the course of the summer.
You do think it'll happen pretty quickly, though? It's not like it'll take a couple years?
It has to happen, Adam. Like, I'm with Vegas on this one. Like, you're going to move past it. Okay, you got to move past it. It's in the past now. But, you know, in my opinion, I'm still bitter about it. I am. I'm still bitter about it. I still look at that play with just utter astonishment. And it's funny, people come up to me, and wherever I'm at, I was in Colorado, I'm in San Diego right now, and I was at a bar last night, and somebody came up to me and knew who I was. It was like, man, the San Jose Sharks, huh? And I'm like, yeah. Like, dude, that wasn't even a penalty, right? And I'm like, no, it wasn't a penalty. I've talked about it probably more than I want to.
It's not going to die, for sure.
No, it's not going to die. It'll be a topic next year, too, for sure. Because it'll be one of the first things I talk about in October, I imagine.
Opening night broadcast. Well, the last time the Knights were on the ice, we'll see that. The biggest news with the Golden Knights so far this offseason is certainly the switch at the top. Kelly McCrimmon elevated to general manager. McPhee still around, certainly, as part of the executive committee, but how much of a change will this be for the Golden Knights?
Not much. Those two are basically a tag team and have been since the very start, so I think it's just a completely selfless move by George McPhee. The guy's a rock star. Like, I know I talk about him a lot very highly, but I've known of him for a very long time, and I know him, and I watched his son play hockey. He's just a quality guy, and he knows how important it is to have family and team together, and I've said that a lot on the air with you guys, that is a huge factor on why these guys have been so successful. It really, truly is. It's a huge factor. Family, team, bond, all that stuff. So the management is an extension of the team, and he does everything he can to keep it together as best he can, especially when he knows he has good guys. Kelly McCrimmon is one of the best, and Kelly McCrimmon was going to get a GM job somewhere else. That is a highly sought-after guy, whether it was Seattle or Edmonton, maybe Detroit early on, but then Yzerman came in. So it's a smart move by George McPhee and Bill Foley to lock in a guy who they know and love and trust. I think it's great. I don't think it changes anything, though.
The most important thing we say for last, we are obsessed, and I say we, I mean me, obsessed with ballers on this show. Are you? You're hanging out with Charles Green, Omar Benson Miller. What is going on?
Yeah, Omar's a real good friend of mine, and we you're a ballers fan, huh?
Oh yeah.
Well, there might be a little surprise in store for you guys later on, then.
Oh boy!
What? You're friends with him? We got to get him on. Come on.
Yeah, we can get Omar.
Let's do it. Next
Omar
time.
Would love to come on. Omar's such a super smart sports guy, too. Like, he's a rock star. He's one of my really great friends. We met each other at a charity softball tournament. Probably about 8 years ago. And we worked on a couple projects together. We've done a bunch of stuff. He's got a really great podcast, actually. His Ozone podcast is all about sports. It's
really?
I forget what his slogan is. Oh, I can't remember right now, but I'm going to be on that in a couple of weeks. But his podcast is really great. He's awesome. I'd love to get Omar on the air with you guys. He would love it. You guys have a blast with him. He's the coolest dude ever. You'll like him more than me.
Let's do it. Are you
That's
up for,
impossible.
Are you up for an award, Nick Ismondi? You get nominated for something? Can you put it out there?
I did. I picked up a an Emmy nomination for honor sports broadcasting.
Oh my god!
Thanks to,
congrats!
Thanks to the Vegas Golden Knights. Yeah, I got nominated for my first individual Emmy award, and they're actually Saturday night in Vegas. So I'm coming in. I'm bringing my mom to the Emmys on Saturday.
Oh, that acceptance speech is going to be so positive and over the top.
You gotta win.
Gotta win first.
We gotta see
a lot of
speak.
Really great competition. So
you're gonna wipe out the
competition,
Nick.
But I appreciate it. If I win it, you guys want to come to the after party today?
We'll come and drink afterward with your mom.
You would love my mom. Actually, she's a rock star too. You should have her on the show. She'll give you a real honest answer to anything you ask her.
All right, we book your mom. You book Charles Green.
All right, I will get you Omar Miller. You guys let me know when you want him on, and we'll get him there.
Win that freaking Emmy. Hey, Nick, we're up against it, man. We appreciate it.
Hey, thank you guys so much. I miss you guys. Can't wait to see you soon.
Thanks, man.
Nick Gizmondi, always there when we need him. AT&T Sportsnet. We close it out in the grab bag.
Hit up Cofield & Company on Facebook. Like ESPN Las Vegas.
It's Cofield & Company's...
You want it? Check it out.
Grab bag.
Smells like fish in here.
Hey, don't touch that. That's nothing to play with, man.
On ESPN 1100, 100.9 FM.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
Fired up. We got to get the hell out of here. Good job by Jared today. In for Chrissy. Quick NBA draft note. I hope he's backed off this already. I saw this last night. Did you see RJ Barrett, Duke player, possible top three pick? Said of the Knicks, this is the place I want to be. He also said the Knicks are the only team he'll work out for and meet with before the draft. Dude, what are you doing? You're not even guaranteed to be the number three pick. The Knicks are going to do everything they can to trade the pick. You may want to talk to other teams. Who was advising him?
Maybe they'll take him in the second round. Maybe that's his hope.
Stupid, right?
It seems less than optimal if you're trying to position yourself to make the most amount of money and have the most success.
I mean, 30-70 shot, you're a Pelican? If the Anthony Davis trade goes to the Knicks instead of the Lakers?
Oof. Well, New Orleans isn't that bad. Maybe that's his grand plan.
Maybe he really wants to go to New Orleans.
What's the grand plan? I don't get it.
To get drafted by the Knicks and then traded.
Okay.
He wants to be a part of the deal.
What's going on in the aftermath of UFC 238? There was a great fight that ended because Donald Cerrone had his nose blown, or he did it. Ferguson and Cerrone.
Yeah.
That's it. They're done, right? Ferguson moves on into the mix for the biggest fights possible.
Dana White said he wants to see the fight again because he wasn't satisfied with how the fight ended. And Donald Cerrone now says he's good to go. He got a clean bill of health, and he wants to fight.
I will say this. If anyone deserves it, it's Donald Cerrone. So sure. I think they've treated him poorly in terms of words in the past. He deserves it.
Tony Ferguson probably doesn't deserve to have to fight another fight to get a title shot. He's won 12 in a row.
Right. Just give him the title fight. Come on.